Thank you for that. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to open God's Word and share it with you tonight. When Pastor said about this platform being so small, not falling off of it, I was reminded, I was watching a program one time at a Christian school, and the music director was leading the choir, and it was a raised stage, and he took one step too far back, and he went down. But the amazing thing was, he never missed a beat. He just kept leading the music and never missed a beat. And I hope that doesn't happen, but if it does, we'll all have a good laugh tonight. At least it's not too far up. But anyway, if you take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk, if you have trouble finding that, just go to Matthew and go left a little bit, and you'll come to the little book of Habakkuk. This small book in the Old Testament has been such an encouragement to me, especially recently and even within this last year, as I glean the truths that God has for me here in this passage of Scripture. And I hope that it'll be an encouragement to you as well tonight. I'm going to read some verses from chapter 1, and then I'm going to go to chapter 3 and focus on some verses there for the remainder of our time together this afternoon. Habakkuk chapter 1, starting in verse 1, I'll read down through verse number 6. The oracle which Habakkuk the prophet saw. How long, O Lord, will I call for help, and you will not hear? I cry out to you, violence, yet you do not save. Why do you make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. Therefore, the law is ignored and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, justice comes out perverted. Look among the nations. Observe. Be astonished. Wonder. Because I am doing something in your days. You would not believe it if you were told. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this time to gather together and open your word. I pray that you would teach us from your word tonight, Lord. Help us to take at least one thing from your word tonight that would encourage our hearts, to draw us closer to you in our walk with you. I just thank you and praise you for this opportunity, and may you receive all the honor and glory from everything that has been done tonight and will continue to be done. We praise you, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Prophet Habakkuk here is struggling with some things in his life that he sees happening all around him. He has questions that are going unanswered about what he sees and what he is experiencing in his life at this time. He's asking questions that, quite frankly, we have asked ourselves. I know I have asked myself at times when things are happening and we don't seem to understand what is going on, and maybe our prayers don't seem to be answered in the way that we want them to be answered. Maybe we think God is being silent as we're crying out to Him. And this is where Habakkuk finds himself. And one of the things that has been an encouragement to me about this passage of Scripture is the idea of how I can have a strong, overcoming faith in spite of what's going on about me. And Habakkuk's going to learn that in a great way as this book closes in chapter 3. These are the kind of questions that he is asking God. And I want to talk about overcoming faith tonight. You know, it's amazing that sometimes our circumstances and our perspective on things can have a bearing on our perspective or our thinking. I know there are times in my life when I'm not sure why something is happening in my life. And if I'm not focused on the Lord Jesus Christ and on His Word and what I know about God, my perspective can change. And it can be a perspective that's not pleasing to the Lord. We sang this morning, turn your eyes upon Jesus. And that's exactly what we need to do, is keep our eyes on the Lord and on His Word and know what we, and believe what we know about our God in those times of difficulty. And here, the circumstances that Habakkuk was going through was confusing him, and he was asking some questions, and those questions just didn't seem to be answered by anyone or by God, and so he's struggling here with his faith a little bit, and knowing one thing, but yet experiencing something different in his life. He was asking God, basically, I believe, two questions. As you look at chapter 1, just before we move to chapter 3 here, the first question I think Habakkuk was struggling with, I think, is found in verse number 2. And it says, "How long, O Lord, will I call for help and you will not hear?" In other words, God, I'm praying and I'm crying out to you. I'm asking you for some answers of what's happening around me. And God, where are you? Have you ever been there? You're praying for a specific thing in your heart, in your life, and maybe it seems like God is silent, and you come away with this thinking, again, if our perspective is wrong, and think, God, where are you? Why aren't you hearing me? Why don't you love me? And Habakkuk was saying, God, where are you? I think the second question is found in verse number 12. It's kind of the end of a lengthy passage here, but he says in verse 12, "Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We will not die. You, O Lord, have appointed them to judge, and you, O Rock, have established them to correct. Your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor. Why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they?" I believe Habakkuk was struggling with the idea sometimes we even struggle with, and that is, why does it seem like evil is winning, is being victorious? Why is there so much injustice in the world? Why does it seem like God is overlooking the evil in the world around us? And he was struggling with these two things and asking God questions. And God really didn't. God begins to answer Habakkuk in chapter 2 and into chapter 3. And we're going to look at some verses here in chapter 3. I think one of the amazing things that encourages me here in these verses, or just the truth that I see here in this passage of Scripture, is that even though Habakkuk did not understand what was happening, and understand maybe what he was seeing around him, that he still trusts God in spite of that. And that's such an encouragement to me, because there are many times I don't understand what's happening around me or even in my own life, but yet I can still trust God. I'm so thankful we don't have to understand in order to trust God. We just have to trust God who does understand, and just put our trust and our faith in Him. And that's what Habakkuk came to do here. In chapter 2, God begins to answer Habakkuk, and he says to him in verse 4, but the righteous will live by his faith. He tells Habakkuk, you're going to have to learn to trust me. You're going to have to learn to trust my word. You're going to have to believe that what I have said is true and it will be fulfilled. You're going to have to trust my work. I'm working, Habakkuk, even though it doesn't seem like I'm working. What a great thought and encouragement it is that God is working even though sometimes we don't see Him working. That person that you're praying for, perhaps, that needs the Lord or is going through a difficult time in their life and you're praying, or maybe it's your own life, and it doesn't seem like God is working. He is working. He is working. And praise the Lord for that. God tells Habakkuk to just trust Him and that He is working even though he can't see it. Chapter 2 focuses on the truth, and we don't have time to jump into chapter 2, but it basically deals with this fact that answers the question that Habakkuk had, that second question, and that is that sin will fail. Sin is not going to be victorious. Evil is not going to be victorious. It will fail. Then you come to chapter 3, and you see this, I believe this, in verse 1 it says a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet, and as you go through chapter 3, you see this praise or this song, I believe, of faith that Habakkuk is expressing. The fog begins to lift from Habakkuk's thinking, and even though he doesn't understand, and even though he doesn't have all the answers, he realizes that he has everything that he needs for joy. You and I have everything as a believer in Jesus Christ, everything that we need for joy. Well, you don't know what's going on in my life right now. You don't know my circumstances right now. No, maybe I don't, but I do know this, that you and I, if we know Jesus Christ, we have Christ, and we have everything that we need for joy. And we're going to close the message out looking at a couple things about joy in just a little bit. But I want you to look at chapter 3, and beginning at verse number 17. That's where I want to focus for just a few moments. Chapter 3, verse number 17. It says, though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fall or should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength, and He has made my feet like hinds' feet, and makes me walk on my high places. And he closes with, let's close with that statement there for the choir director on my stringed instruments there. This chapter is a song of praise that Habakkuk sings to the Lord God. The prophet has gone through a time of not understanding what he was seeing taking place around him. He's asked God for some answers, and God begins to answer him. And this is a time when his faith is being tested. And he comes out of this time of testing with a song of praise on his lips, an exaltation to God. I'm so thankful that we have a song of praise to sing, that no matter what circumstance we're going through, it can't take that away. It can't take that away. I want to mention two things from this passage of Scripture that I think are key components to having an overcoming faith. And no matter what circumstance, no matter what situation, that we can have this overcoming faith. I think the first one, and they're both found in chapter 3 here in the verses that we read. The first one, I believe, is this: Habakkuk recognize God's greatness. If we're going to have a faith that overcomes no matter what comes into our life or what we face, we have to recognize God's greatness, just as Habakkuk did. Habakkuk looked at what he saw happening around him, and it seemed like God was not answering his prayers as he was crying out to God, and God was not changing the circumstances. God was not changing the things that were going on. And he says, God, where are you? But what Habakkuk came to know was that God is a great God and God is a good God. Even when I don't understand what He's doing, and even when life doesn't make sense, I can rest assured that God is great and God is good. God is great and God is good. Look at chapter 3 and verse number 2. Let's go back up to verse number 2. He says, Lord, I have heard the report about you, and I fear, O Lord. Revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. He says, Lord, I have heard the report about you, and I fear. We need to recognize that God is absolutely great. I don't care what you're going through tonight, or what I'm going through tonight, and the difficult situation that we might find ourselves in, one thing I do know is this: the character of God is not up for debate this afternoon. The greatness of God is not up for debate this afternoon. God is great and God is good, and God's power and God's greatness have endured through the generations and will continue to endure. Habakkuk understood that no matter what he faced in life, no matter what situation that he found himself in, he knew that God was great and that God was good. say, well, you know, I know that, I read that, but how can I recognize God's greatness? How can I recognize God's goodness in my life? In a crisis situation, in a time of testing, how do I recognize that? I believe we do it the same way that Habakkuk did it here in this passage of Scripture. He, first of all, he looked to the past and he remembered what God had done. He looked to the past and remembered what God had done. Did you notice what Habakkuk said in verse number 2? He said, Lord, I have heard the report about you, and I fear. He looks to the past. He remembers the great acts of God that he heard. He remembered as God came upon his people while they were in slavery in Egypt, how he delivered them out of Egypt, how he led them through the Red Sea in a miraculous way, and he led them through the wilderness, and he led them into the promised land. If you take time and read all of chapter 3, which we will not do tonight, there are a lot of past tense verbs in that chapter, and where it says that God did this, he walked through the or they walked through the sea on dry land, they thrust the enemies out of the land. And Habakkuk talks about what God has done. I constantly have to remind myself when a difficult situation arises in my life. And you know, it seems like these past couple years, our family has gone through some very difficult situations, which I will not share with you. But I would not change them for the world, because God taught us many things through those times. It wasn't pleasant going through some of those things, but God taught us some great lessons. And I constantly have to remind myself when I come up across a situation that seems insurmountable that, hey, God has been faithful in the past, and He's going to continue to be faithful. He's forever faithful, and He will see me through this particular thing. It might not be the outcome that I desire, but He will see me through that when I come out on the other end of it. I'm going to be pure as gold. The rough edges are going to be chipped away. I'm going to be more like my Savior, Jesus Christ. He thought about the things that God had done for him and his people. He says, I have heard about your great works. And then he looks also to the present. In verse 2, he says, Lord, I have heard the report about you, and I fear. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In other words, God, move right now like you did in the past. Move right now like you did in the past. Do it now. Do it now. If you know the history that's taking place during this time, Habakkuk's nation was being overrun by an oppressing nation. God was using that nation to chastise his people because of sin. And I like what Habakkuk says here. He asks God for help today. He says, in wrath, he says, God, in wrath, remember mercy. Remember mercy. Habakkuk's nation was again being overtaken, and Habakkuk was watching all of this take place, and he knew that one of the reasons it was happening was because God was punishing his people, and that's why he speaks here to the wrath of God here. I don't know what difficulty or opposition you might be facing or you will face this year as this new year begins. It may very well be that this year we will have to face some things and go through some things because of our sin, some unpleasant things, the consequences to our sin. It may be like Habakkuk that he was going through this because God was punishing his people, and he found himself in this difficult situation. Habakkuk said, I'm through with complaining. He says, I'm through with saying, woe is me, God. And he says in wrath, God, I'm just pleading for your mercy right now. Habakkuk could have very well complained and saying, I didn't have anything to do with this, God. This was my ancestors and people before me. But he says, no, God, I just plead for your mercy. Plead for your mercy. How many times have you heard yourself, perhaps, or someone else make this statement? I don't deserve this. Something bad happens, and sometimes we say, well, I didn't deserve that. Aren't you glad that God hasn't given us what we really deserve? We all deserve separation from God. We all deserve hell. Anything short of that is God's grace and God's mercy. And Habakkuk here says, in wrath, he says, God, remember mercy. May we come to the Lord and say as well, God, I need your mercy and grace. Lord, I'm finding myself in a very difficult situation in life. I don't understand. I'm looking around and I don't understand. It seems like I'm crying out to you and I'm not getting, it seems like you're silent or I'm not getting the answers that I want. God, I plead for your grace and your mercy. And that is when we find strength in the midst of a difficult or a crisis situation. No matter what we might be going through, we need to remember, and God has taught me this lesson, sometimes the hard way, over and over again, no matter what happens, you and I need to remember that God is great and that God is good. God is good. So when we are going through a situation and we don't understand, we say, God, I know you are great. God, I know you are a good God. God of mercy, even though I don't see it. But not only do we see the first component here of overcoming faith is to recognize the greatness of God, but we've talked a little bit about this, but I believe the second key component is to rejoice in God's goodness. To rejoice in God's goodness. Look at verses 17 through 19 again. Though the fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no fruit, though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls. Habakkuk, in other words, is saying this, I believe. If everything falls apart, if I lose everything, I tell you what I'm going to do. And he says, verse 18, and I love this, yet, I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and He has made my feet like hinds feet and makes me walk on my high places. Can I give you a New Testament companion text, I believe, that kind of goes along with this? Turn to a very familiar passage of Scripture in the New Testament, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Starting at verse number 10 of Philippians chapter 4. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Christ, through Him who strengthens me. Paul says here is what I have learned. He says, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Literally, I can endure or I can persevere through anything that life throws at me. You know why? Because Jesus Christ is my strength. He's my strength. Paul knew exactly what Habakkuk was talking about. Closing, let me just give you three things about joy that I think are important to remember. First of all, joy is a choice. Joy is a choice. Joy is a volitional decision that we must make. Paul said, "I rejoice in the Lord greatly," he said. Habakkuk said, "I will rejoice. I will exalt the Lord." If everything falls apart, Habakkuk says, "I make a volitional choice, a decision. I am going to exalt the Lord and I am going to rejoice." It's a choice. In the Philippians passage, Paul used the word learned twice. He says, "I've learned to be content, and then I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need." That the word learned there means that I didn't know it then, but I know it now. He says, there was a time in my life, Paul said, where I didn't know how to be full of joy. Before I came to Christ, I didn't know how to be full of joy. I didn't know how to be content, and I had to learn that. When I came to Christ, I learned the secret of real joy. That no circumstance can change in my life. Joy is a choice that we make. I'm not standing up here saying that every day of 2015 is going to be a wonderful day for you. It probably won't be. I'll just kind of break that bad news to you now. There are going to be some ups and downs in this year and in each of our lives, and some things that are going to come that we weren't expecting. Habakkuk says, even if the whole world falls apart, he says, "I will rejoice in the Lord." And that's something God has been teaching me. Now, there are times when things happen that we don't understand, or unpleasant things happen. I make a choice of whether I want to become angry and bitter, or I make a choice to have joy and let that joy be on my lips and praise God and rejoice in the Lord. It's a choice. Secondly, joy has nothing to do with my circumstances. People say sometimes, "Well, I could be joyful if things were different in my life. I could be joyful if I had, this amount of money, or if I had this or had that. I could be joyful." I've known a lot of people over the years, and I'm sure you have as well, people who have gone through terminal illnesses or terrible situations that from the human perspective, and yet they are the most joyful people that you could ever meet in life. Praise is constantly on their lips, praising the Lord God. And then there are people who have everything that you could imagine, and there's no joy whatsoever. There's no peace in their heart and their life whatsoever. Verse 17 says, "Though the fig tree should not blossom, and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail, and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold, and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation." If the circumstances are as lousy and as bad as they can possibly be, Habakkuk says, "Yet I am going to exalt the Lord. I am going to rejoice in the Lord God." Most people think that joy comes from the outside and works itself in, but outward circumstances affect us and give us joy. But the Bible says just the opposite. The Bible says that joy comes from within. It comes from, leading into this last thing about joy, joy is rooted in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. It comes from the inside out. And that's why no circumstance should change the joy that's in our heart, because it's not based on what is on the outside. It's based on who is on the inside, and that's Jesus Christ, who gives us that strength. Habakkuk said, "Yet I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation." And then he says, "The Lord God is my strength, and He has made my feet like hinds' feet, and makes me walk on my high places. Habakkuk says, if I go through some difficulty in my life, God is going to be my strength. He will be my strength. He will give me feet like deer's feet, and He will allow me to run on high hills. I don't know what lies ahead for my life. You don't know what lies ahead for your life this year. There might be some steep hills that we have to climb this year. There might be some rocky crevices that we've got to, you know, go through this year in our life. But I do know this, that God's greatness is unquestioned. God's goodness is unquestioned. And we can make a choice because of our right relationship with Jesus Christ. If you know Him today, we can make a choice to have joy. To express that joy on our lips. No matter what happens, I pray that God would give me that attitude that Habakkuk had. Yet, I will rejoice in the Lord. And I challenge you to desire that same attitude. No matter what happens, I'm going to just let the praise of the Lord flow from my lips. Because I don't have to understand. I just have to trust Him who knows what He's doing. He knows what's best. And I just need to trust Him. And if I do that, I can have a faith that overcomes through the most difficult situation in life. I just encourage us to be that kind of a person this evening. To have that attitude that I will rejoice in the Lord. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we do thank You for this passage of Scripture this evening. Lord, I thank You how You have used this in my own life to teach me that no matter what happens, I will rejoice in the Lord. I choose to rejoice. I choose not to become angry. I choose not to become bitter, but I choose to rejoice and use whatever situation, whatever circumstance that I find myself in, to be an opportunity to share Christ with those around who need to hear about Him, His goodness and His greatness. I pray that that we would be challenged to have that attitude this year. And Lord, may You receive the honor and the glory through all. We thank You. We praise You. We thank You for Your greatness. We thank You for Your goodness. May we truly rejoice in Thee. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.